Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to our show. My name is Deborah Rose, and I'm your host on Circle Talk. Circle Talk is one of the shows here on CSNP, Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast. CSNP has a lineup of rotating shows throughout each month. Mondays feature Lunatic Mondays with host Laura Gonzalez. She alternates weeks in English and Spanish. It can't be Tuesday without Circle Talk, and I continue to be the host for this fun discussion show on the first and third Tuesday of each month. Nature Spirituality features none other than Selena Fox. Are you in the mood for some magic? Then you'll want to tune in on Thursday for Moon Magic with Jeanette and David Ewing. Fridays feature Blue Marble, which is hosted by Circle Sanctuary minister, environmental activist, and eco-chaplain Char Bear. We have such an informative and fun lineup of shows, and we at CSNP hope that you try them all. Pagan Spirit Gathering, or PSG, is one of America's oldest and largest nature spirituality festivals. After 2 years of virtual PSG, we are looking forward to opening the gate in June and welcoming home the sacred community in person. PSG will be held June 19th through June 26th at the Pulaski County Fort Leonard Wood Shrine Camp near Waynesville, Missouri. Come out and enjoy 8 days of community with music, workshops, rituals, festivals, and more under the summer solstice sun. For the safety of our community, our home communities, and the communities that we'll travel to get to PSG, full COVID vaccination is required for all eligible who are able to receive the vaccine in order to attend and register for PSG. For more information and how to register, go to www.circlesanctuary.org and click on the PSG link on the right side of the main page. So come out and play with us. Remember, 8 days of community, music, magic, workshops, rituals, festivities, and more under the solstice summer sun. Would you like to learn how to be your most spellbinding self inside and out through every stage of your life? Tonight on Circle Talk, I'm real excited as we talk with Elise Marie. She's going to teach us how to explore the power of nature by crafting plant-powered elixirs, oils, and creams to achieve ageless beauty and self-confidence that is actually all of our birthrights. Her book, The Beauty Witch's Secret, is our guide to uncovering these timeless secrets, and we're going to be chatting with her tonight. Elise Marie is an actress, writer, certified holistic nutritionist. She has been creating health and beauty potions for over 30 years, recently launching a line of EcoLux products. We're going to talk about those. Elise has been featured internationally in magazines, websites, and live events. She is also a contributor to Enchanted Living magazine, which presents her monthly online column, The Beauty Witch. If you want more information about Elise, please go to her website, www.thebeautywitch.com, and especially if you're one of those who like signed copies of books, because I think she told me she has signed copies there. We'll ask her in a minute. You also can find Elise on Instagram at the Beauty Witch Official. Let's welcome Elise to Circle Talk. Welcome, Elise.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. So tell me, I'm always interested. It looks like you've been doing a column. Is writing something that you've just done most of your life?
No, not at all. I started out blogging years ago, probably about 7 years ago. And I was really doing a lot of health food. I was really kind of in that realm. more so.
Right.
And I was actually, what I really wanted was a television show, and so, or some sort of internet show, and it made me realize, well, people kept saying, well, in order to have a show, you need to have a book, and in order to have a book, you need to have a blog. So I started blogging, and that just really evolved. It just evolved into beauty. And it was always about beauty from the inside out, of course, literally and figuratively, but it became much more about beauty potions and less about everything else, really. And it just sort of took on a life of its own. And I started writing for magazines. I started writing my column. I think we're on we're in year four of that now. And I've been doing some speaking engagements, some workshops, and I started writing a book series. And this, The Beauty Which is Secrets, is the first of the series.
Oh, so, well, I'm very excited to have you. You know, I'm always interested because I really admire authors and creative people. Now, since this is your first book, did you have, like, so interesting to me, some people are very structured. They have, like, a writing schedule. Some people kind of write when the mood hits you. How did you, how long did it take you to do your book? How did you get it produced?
Well, let's see. The book, well, you know, they start writing themselves at a given point. They just,
That is so interesting.
I am not a structured writer by any stretch. In fact, when I have deadlines, I get a little cranky. it was more of this volcano that's always about ready to erupt in me that says, I have to get this out. I have to get this done. I have information I want to share with people, and if I don't get it out, well, I'm just probably going to implode. So so I wrote, I'm trying to think of how long the actual writing took, because the actual, after it was written, just kind of shopping it and making decisions about where would be a good home for this book, and talking to agents and talking to publishers, and honestly getting a lot of, we love this, but we don't like which in the title.
Right.
And, yeah, and I said, well, all right, next. So I was very, very happy to find a home at Llewellyn because obvious reasons, but they've just been fantastic, and I felt like, you know, they don't produce fluff. So
absolutely,
what I think is here is actually here in these pages. So that made me really happy, and it took a little bit longer to actually get onto shelves than we'd hoped. That had a lot to do with COVID and delays and just all of that. Everything from the actual printing got delayed. We were supposed to be released in April, and it didn't actually happen until May. And we were actually going to be released last year, and then that got pushed to spring of this year. And even just down to, you know, getting the photo shot, it was – that was at a point where I literally couldn't get a photographer, a location, everything was closed down. So there were, you know, it was, that part of it was a little bit of a production, no pun intended, but the writing part just came out, and it, if I don't structure myself too much, then it's good. Then it's good.
That is so fun.
Yeah, if it feels forced, I just have to step away and do something else. So,
yeah.
And come back
to it.
You
know, it's funny. You talk about COVID called delays, but I think your book being published now is probably fabulous, because during the times, at least a lot of people that I know, they kind of cocooned during COVID. You know, we didn't go anywhere. A lot of people went, you know, to sleep pants and yoga pants, and we just kind of stayed in the house. And now people are getting out. They want to go places. They want to venture to restaurants. They want to travel. So I'm thinking that self-care is becoming a big thing. And so I think that it's just the perfect time to introduce a book like yours.
Thank you. And I agree. I mean, I was initially I was a little bit disappointed that it didn't come out last year, but because
right.
you know quite far in advance when your publishing date is. And then when I realized where we were in the world, I thought, you know what? This is fine. And let's
yeah.
just cross our little paws that by the time spring rolls around, people will be, in fact, actually reemerging with this new season.
Right.
And you know, and the new solar year and so the new astrological year, I should say. And that's I feel like that's what happened. And it was interesting because during that time, I had so many people I knew, people that were readers, people that had been clients of mine at one point, just saying, oh, I really let myself go. What? I don't even know where to start. And I thought, oh, this is good timing. Yes, yes. And the flowers are literally reopening and blooming. So
it is, you say that, because I have so many friends and people I work with that have said, oh, you know, I haven't been coloring my hair. I need to get a pedicure.
Right.
You're right. Now's the time. People are feeling good. You know, we've got the vaccine. People are venturing out a little bit. And so now they're looking in the mirror and they're going, ah, what happened the last few years? So I think this book is a great time. So that leads me to a question. How do you start? What is the recipe or where, if I get your book, what do you suggest people start with?
Well, it can definitely be read just all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
You can. Another thing that I really like the idea of is just picking it up kind of intuitively and seeing where
mm-hmm.
you open to and seeing if
that's interesting
resonates with maybe where you are. Maybe you open it up to a page where it's just what you needed for a skin condition or a hair condition
mm-hmm.
or a particular brew or elixir or tonic that really seems to be resonating with you in the moment. But I also, the chapters are very small. There's a chapter, the beginning of the book is, you know, theory. It's about working with the cycles of the moon. It's about
mm-hmm.
Literally the how-tos of creating the potions. It's the art of the ritual of self-care,
mm-hmm.
body care. And then it gets into the actual recipes. And so there's a chapter for every part of the body. So we start at the top of the head. We go all the way down to the toes. And, you know, you can just pick it up and say, oh, boy, my feet have been neglected. Let me look through here. And so I kind of like it. I personally kind of like it that way. But I would definitely suggest reading the beginning because it does set up, it does answer a lot of questions and it sets a lot of things up. And there's a whole section in the back for, it's called the Beauty Witch Pantry, and it's all the ingredients, magical properties, practical, topical properties. And it's very, very helpful because this way you can substitute things, and you can substitute them in a way that really honors what the potion is for. So, for instance, let's say you're having a breakout, but there's a particular ingredient you're not crazy about. You can go in the
mm-hmm.
back of the book, and you can substitute something, but not just kind of off the cuff. You can be really thoughtful
mm-hmm.
about it and say, well, I'm going to substitute this, and it's going to have similar magical properties, and it's going to have a similar effect on my skin, but maybe I just like the scent better. So, okay, that's going to
mm-hmm.
work. And I definitely encourage people to make these recipes your own and experiment and use your senses, really. I love the idea of the sensuality that this kind of work brings. Your hands are in it. Everything smells wonderful, and you're just, it's just such a pleasure. It's such a pleasure to make your own beauty concoctions, and it's even more of a pleasure to use them. And then when you see the results, you just, it's just a fantastic thing. It's so confidence boosting.
Absolutely.
And I think we really need that now.
Yes, I agree. And it's interesting because this is something that I'm interested in, and I'm I am definitely not a kitchen witch. I'm not very domestic. So, but I am so interested in this, and I do like the idea of making something that you can put your own intent to, and you know, and touch the ingredients, and do all this. What, you know, skin, hair, bath. What is something that you suggest that's pretty simple that I can't mess up? That you suggest I start with from your book?
Well, I would say, you know, there are very simple potions in there, and there are more complex ones. And you're gonna gravitate toward what feels right to you. I would say the facial masks. The face masks are very simple. They're lovely. They immediately invite a few moments of rest because you want to sit with them on, and
you immediately see
a difference, of course, in your skin. And I think that's a beautiful, like a sacred pause that you can just take for 10 minutes or longer if you can get away with it. But definitely you could. I know people that do face masks while they're checking their emails. And that's the only way they can get that time in.
Yeah,
and you know, to me, I'm kind of I think you should do a cat stretch and sip a beverage and just really and get into it. But of course, not everyone's going to do that. So I like that idea. You're multitasking, but you're beautifying, and you're really empowering yourself if you think about it.
Although
I
actually kind of agree with you. A lot of us don't, those of us who are busy, don't take time out for ourselves. And even though you can multitask, there is something luxurious and I think healing about taking time for yourself just to relax and to be. So
I
think
could not
agree
with you
more. With meditation. I'm trying to regularly meditate, and I've been doing ritual baths. So I was going to ask you if you have any bath recipes. So picking a time like Sunday night, or picking a time after about 6 or 8 weeks, that just becomes a habit. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You just don't think of it anymore as doing something self-care. You just say, it's time I have to do this meditation and bath. And so I can see where our readers could take many things from your book and build it into you know, different parts of the week into self-care rituals.
Yes, absolutely. And I love what you're doing. And you're right. Once you start doing it, it just becomes habit. And you can't even imagine that you didn't do it at one point. And yes, by the way, there are lovely baths in there for you. And there are lovely exfoliants that also turn into bath potions. And I think you're going to like that chapter very much, actually.
That's great. I've gotten to be a really bath person. It wasn't. I've always been a shower person other than ritual baths before ritual. But, it's funny because I've tied with a type of meditation, and now it's gotten to be where, I get, it's gotten more elaborate. You know, there's candles, there's incense. It's just gotten more elaborate, and it's actually become a ritual itself. But it's very... I mean, I feel fabulous after this bath. And so, I think I will definitely be incorporating things in your book into my self-care ritual.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I agree with you. I mean, there's it's just so important to do a little something every day. Yes, I mean, I think you have to. I think it's such a tragedy that we've gotten to a point where we don't take the time for ourselves, and when we do, we feel guilty, and that's crazy.
This is
so important. And I do talk in the beginning of the book, I do talk about setting up your beauty altar. You okay?
Oh yeah. Tell us about that. I have not thought of that concept. I like that. Tell us about your beauty altar.
Oh, you know, it's really I would have to say it's somewhat inspired by my maternal grandmother, who was a pretty glamorous creature. And she had a beautiful old dressing table, and she had all her potion bottles out and her beautiful perfumes. And they were, I was little, and they were right about eye level at that point for me. And I just saw all this magnificence in her jewelry and the care she took and the time she took. And now there's this concept of slow living that everyone's talking about. And but she really embodied that at a time when you could really embody that. And she was so inspiring to me. And as I became, I would say, a teenager, a little bit older, I didn't use the word, but I started seeing this as, this is a ritual. This is what we do. This is how we care for ourselves. This is uniquely, profoundly feminine, and this is a wonderful thing. And it's not selfish, and it's not fluffy. It's a wonderful thing. And so as I started getting more and more into concocting my own potions and more spiritual as I was a teenager, I started thinking of this idea that, you know, wherever you get ready, I don't care if it's your bathroom sink, which for a lot of people it is, or if you have a spot, you have a table, you have a particular area, maybe right in the beautiful daylight in the window, and you have this spot where you go to. And really, isn't it an altar? Isn't it a beauty altar? Isn't this where you worship beauty and heal, and the healing and the love it brings? And so I started thinking about that, and of course I love all things glamorous, so it started becoming this spot that just had to have everything in a certain way. Now, of course, not everyone's going to do that, but I do encourage you to look at the space where you get ready differently and say, okay, it may just be a bathroom sink, but it doesn't have to be clinical. It doesn't have to be cluttered or dirty or unattractive or unappealing. If you can light candles around your bath when you're reclining in your bath, why can't you bring some of that to your medicine cabinet mirror if that's what you're working with?
Absolutely.
Right? So, and that's what
absolutely.
That, yeah, and I talk about, like, I bring certain things from my beauty altar, which is my dressing table, into my kitchen. Just a few things. I don't go crazy, but I bring a few things in while I'm making my potions, and certainly while I'm making them for other people. And because I want that energy, I want this circle, literally, of energy to keep flowing. I love it. You're talking about meditation before, and honestly, I find the whole act of putting on my serums and my rose water mists and my oils, I find this incredibly calming and almost meditative, really. I find it very, very calming and very peaceful. And I just feel like my whole breathing just slows down, and I get very present and very focused, and it's absolutely worth whatever time you're willing to carve out for it.
That sounds really fun. You know, I'm just sitting here thinking, as a teenager, as a young woman, I would imagine that I treated my makeup table or dressing table much more like an altar. And it's funny, I think that as I've gotten older, I've kind of let some of that go. And I think it's probably time to reclaim that. And I see a lot of women, especially over 50, who are kind of, how can I say it, reclaiming their beauty again.
I love that. I love that. I'm over 50. And I, first of all, I don't believe in the concept of anti-aging because that doesn't exist. And it's kind of a ridiculous thing to say. And I also don't believe that, you know, our beauty diminishes in any way. In any way. It evolves, certainly. And
exactly.
I think it becomes so much more alluring.
But absolutely.
Yeah, because you have all this, everything else you've gathered in this lifetime and others coming with you. And so I think that's so much more alluring in some ways, you know. So I love that. I love the idea of, I'm going to say older women. So my, you know, my age older than me, I love that idea of reclaiming that. And it's funny that you mentioned that about being a teen and feeling probably mm-hmm. like you considered it more of an altar, because if you think about it, teenagers are somewhat more ritualistic, I think, than
absolutely, absolutely.
We become as we're adults, right? Because they don't have all the adult stuff in their heads all the time. And mm-hmm. also, I think, you know, as teenagers, I always think as young people, we're always searching for who we are. And I think mm-hmm. that establishes, well, I think having a beauty altar as a young person establishes, well, this is me. Flaws,
mm-hmm.
beautiful things, everything in between. It's me and it's unique, and I'm a big fan of, you know, embracing your unique beauty, whatever that is.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, we talked a little bit before the show, because my partner, he was interested in some things, and he's like, ask about skincare, ask about this. This book is not simply for women, correct? Talk a little bit about that.
It's absolutely for everyone. It's absolutely, any person in the book can be used by anyone. And I would strongly encourage everyone to just flip through and, again, see what sort of grabs you. But there is a specific chapter for men. It's called For the Wizards in Your World. Yeah, and I really wanted to include a special section for, you know, male specific needs, let's say. And I think if your significant other tries some, I do think he'll like them very much. Maybe you can whip up some for him.
Yeah, absolutely. What are the favorite ingredients that you work with?
Personally, I love natural ingredients. I love, you know, plants mm-hmm. and extracts and flowers and but personally, I always gravitate toward probably the very classically Venusian kinds of ingredients. Rose is probably my number one. I use rosehip oil in some form every day
mm-hmm.
for many moons. I love jasmine, vanilla. I love amber. I use amber quite a bit for myself. I believe it's in the book as well.
Mm-hmm.
I've got so many potions in there, I can't remember what's in there and what's not. But that's the problem when you're writing a book series, is that some recipes go for in different files, and you say, oh, yeah,
absolutely.
No, I'm not going to pull that one out just yet. But, yeah, I'm a huge fan of frankincense, myrrh. I love lavender. I know it doesn't sound like it's an earth-shattering thing to say, but I love lavender. And
I do too.
Yeah, there's just certain things and that are just phenomenal. I love clove. I love calendula. I love so many things. But
is it difficult to get the ingredients to use for your potions and elixirs?
No, there are resources in the back, and they're
oh, good.
Tried and true. Yeah, they're tried and true companies that I use, and for the most part have been around long enough, so I don't think they're going anywhere. I would hope
mm-hmm.
not. And some of the ingredients are a bit more exotic, and they take a little bit more doing. They're more luxurious. They're a little bit more pricey. Others
mm-hmm.
are incredibly common. And so you, mm-hmm. again, you work with what you can, and I always encourage that you start out with a few ingredients that really call to you, really matter to you,
mm-hmm.
And then you build it from there, you know, and eventually you'll grow this little pantry of everything that's really important to you. And you'll use them. You'll just use them like crazy.
What are some of your beauty secrets? What are some rituals that you do yourself on a routine basis?
Well, I absolutely spend some time every morning, really before I do anything else, besides boil water and feed my cat.
Mm-hmm.
I really like to, I have a cleansing, toning ritual followed by, well, okay, this might be a little embarrassing, but at least 2 to 3 serums, because I'm a little bit of a serum nut.
Mm-hmm.
I call them beauty oils, but that gets confusing for people. So serums, I'm crazy about them, absolutely crazy about them. I have one I like for my eyes, which is in the book. I have a bunch that I use on my skin, but I rotate them with the seasons, which I also mentioned
mm-hmm.
in the book. And I rotate them with, you know, our skin is ever-changing. So I feel like you kind of have to have a little arsenal on hand for, oh, today I'm a little blotchy. Oh, today it looks pretty good. Oh, you know. So I'm a little bit possibly overly fixated on skincare. And I do hair masks several times a week, probably 3 times a week. I do facial masks several times a week. Now, I love this. I can't really get enough of it. So it's not really something that I have to think about. It's just, okay,
mm-hmm.
this evening I'm going to do this, or this morning I'm going to do this. I love exfoliants. I do. I always encourage very gentle exfoliants, none of that, like, pulverized walnut hull kind of stuff. That's much too rough on the skin.
Right.
So I love to exfoliate. I use rich oils every night after a bath or a shower. And I also do a little ritual when I do one of my serum layers. I do a little ritual with a smooth crystal, but I really like to use a crystal roller, and I go between a rose quartz and a jade, just depending on where I am. But I almost always do the rose. And I just like to really tell myself, you know, how this is going to come out odd no matter what I say,
mm-hmm.
but it's an expression of love to yourself, and just saying you're great and you're going to have a great day. And you know, everyone,
I think that's fabulous.
You,
we do not do enough
you.
Of that.
Yeah, and I'm glad to, it just sounds awkward to say it aloud, but I don't actually say it aloud. I say it in my head because I have neighbors. But and I just kind of say, like, everyone that sees you today, because you're looking in the mirror and you're tending to your face, will be somehow inspired or happy, or you'll somehow have a positive impact on people today. And that's what I always hope, and that's why the ritual part of it is so important to me, because I feel very strongly that when you take good care of yourself, you then absolutely pass it along. It radiates out. You give it to other people. And it just starts a chain reaction, really. And
absolutely.
I think we can't have enough.
That.
Yeah, we can't have enough good energy in the world. That's for sure. Especially now.
Absolutely. But I would encourage you to say it out loud, because your voice has vibrations.
Mm-hmm.
And actually what you're saying is a form of affirmations. And I'm a big affirmation person, and I will tell
mm-hmm.
you that they work. So I think that's really exciting.
It is. And I think I used to say it aloud before I moved into this apartment. Because
that would make a difference.
I do think so, and I have to get over that, I think, is what that is. But, yeah, I agree. Your voice is powerful. Your voice is magic. Your voice is those sounds that carry and create. It's creation.
it's obvious to me that you've woven love and magic throughout your potions in your book. Mm-hmm. Have you always been a witch or earth-based? Is that, did you grow up like that? What is your spiritual?
No.
How did that come to be?
I had zero spiritual upbringing in my family. There were a lot of annoyed elder Catholics about that, but my parents were very bohemian. You know, it was the 60s into the 70s and very, very bohemian, and they just didn't see the point. And so when I was a teenager, I started, the only way I can really say it accurately is I started remembering things. I was always very attuned to nature, plants. I didn't know technically what a lot of things were, but I knew the I understood the vibration. I recognized things. I used to lay in the moonlight that would come in my window when I was a small child. I was always up half the night with visions and all kinds of things, but none of it, I didn't question it. I didn't really think about it because it was part of, I thought everybody had that. And then when I was a teenager, I remember I was in a bookshop in New York City, a very, very famous occult shop, and I got my hands on a book. I was a little, you know, slightly intimidated, but not really, to be in there. And I got my hands on I think it was a secondhand copy of a Scott Cunningham book, not having any idea what I was looking at, really. And I remember holding it in my hand, and it was one of those that had those fabulous old 70s, kind of 60s illustrations. They were those very, like, almost borderline psychedelic illustrations. And I held it in my both hands, and I looked down at it, and I just remember this very clear voice, you know, that neutral voice that just said, this is me. This is where I come from. This is what I am. And I bought the book, and I took it home, and I devoured it. And I just, it was also coinciding with a time when there was this rise of vegetarianism in the media. You know, this was obviously before the internet, and there was a very strong awareness. I had some older friends that were very active in this way. So I stopped eating meat. And I started just sort of putting the two together and saying, well, if I and not anything processed, I got very clean and whole about everything I was eating, which was really difficult at that point because you didn't have the conveniences that you have now.
Right.
I lived on, you know, steamed broccoli and whatever I could get hold of, and probably not the most balanced thing. And I started reasoning, well, if I'm not putting chemicals in my body or animal products on my body, well, then in my body, then why am I putting them on? That doesn't make sense. And so we had one little tiny health food store very far away. And they had, you know, four products basically on the shelf. They had good old Dr. Bronner's and, you know, a few things. And I got, that's what it was. I think it was in that health food store. There was a copy of Rosemary Gladstar's book. I believe it was Rosemary Gladstar. And anyone who doesn't know who she is, she was probably one of the first to really put out a homemade beauty book, DIY. And everything was very powered and natural and beautiful. And you just got the sense that she was this lovely person, even though you didn't you didn't know her. And I started playing. I started using her basic, her formulas and tweaking them to my own needs. And as I, you know, it just started developing. And as I got older, I got into my 20s, I started really getting into ingredients from other parts of the world and exotic things, and I started getting into raw food, which had a lot to do with you know, what we call superfoods now, and all those ingredients, and how, gee, does that work if I put it on my skin, or does that really only work if I ingest it? And I just got incredibly curious. And I just wanted to know everything I could possibly know. And so little by little, I started, I did come to the realization, unfortunately, that a lot of natural skincare and body care isn't necessarily, it's never going to hurt you. It's, you know, unless you're terrifically allergic to something, it's always going to be gentle and wonderful and have these vibrations, but it's not always as effective unless you make certain combinations, unless you really look for that super high antioxidant berry extract to put into the potion, because, you know, just chamomile isn't going to do it. And it's not going to fight the, it's not going to fight your wrinkles. And, you know, at some point that did get important to me, because I remember my mother hitting a point where she was like, gee, my skin is changing and I don't know what to do about it. Mm-hmm. And taking that cue and saying, well, try this. What do you think about this? And do you like this? How do you like, how does this smell? And I still do my potion testing on my mother.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I everything in the book has been tested forever, many, many moons. And everything I in my line of products I've been making forever. And of course I test them on people I know with different skin types. I'm always running around with little jars, and you know, my friend who has oily skin, I don't have oily skin, so he's like, here, try this. What do you think about this? You know, or my friend with sensitive skin, what about this? Does this bother you? Is this too much? And, you know, and you really start to get a handle. If you want to know, you start to get a handle on what really works, what really works. And I think that's what we're all after.
Absolutely. And I'm not surprised that you've been doing this since you were young. It's very clear the passion you have for this comes across very strongly. So I always gravitate towards books also where you can kind of read the author's passion throughout the book. And so I definitely can feel your passion for this.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yes. I definitely care about it. I mean, if I had never written a book, if I had never sold a product, I would still be making them for myself and for people around me. And it really is fun. It really is fun.
So tell our listeners your website. They're able to purchase some of your products. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. Well, my website is thebeautywitch.com, and there's all kinds of goodies on there. You can buy actually signed copies of the book through me, and I don't think they're available anywhere else that I'm aware of. And you can read all the articles I've written. You can read all the archives of my column, and certainly start to read them as they come out now and in the future. I have a little blog going. I've got, and I do have an atelier which has all my products. It's not a very extensive line at this point. I just started up in October with this website. So there's lots of goodies, but there's not a lot of products. And I just have a new product launching, which is my absolute favorite. It's called Bouclier de Freya, and it means Freya's shield. So it's basically, it's a skin warrior potion. It's phenomenal.
Ooh.
Yes, it's so good. It's so hydrating. It smells like heaven. It's protective. It's just, it's an incredible. I've been using it myself for, I don't know, probably about a year and a half, and finally said, you know what, I have to, people have to have this. I have to put this out. This is too good. So I'm very happy about that. And I have little travel kits, so that if you wanted to just try samples, you could just try a few samples.
Oh, that's
you
a
wouldn't
good
have to,
idea.
Yeah, you don't have to commit to a full-size product. I have a wonderful body, skin, and atmosphere mist called Eau de Fée, and it's fairy water, and it's heaven. And someone just said to me yesterday, they smell incredible, and I'm a I'm a scent snob. I really am.
Me too.
So, yeah, so I'm very happy. So there aren't a ton of products, but I'm very, very pleased with them. And so you can go there and you can check that out. And I do ask that you allow a good 2 weeks to before your potion gets shipped, because I do make them with the proper lunar, during the proper lunar cycles, and I make them on good days to make them, and I'm very aware of, you know, the stars, and so you may have to wait a little bit, but it will be worth it because the energy will be really top notch.
So you work with astrology. Tell us a little bit about that. That's interesting.
I do. It really shows up a lot in my column, and because it's a monthly column, so we always talk about the moons of that month, what's going on with the moons, what's going on in the stars, and how that's affecting us. I don't get too deep into it because I feel like I just want to give everyone a sense of, I try to keep it very positive, and instead of dwelling on something that might be going on, I try to say, hey, these are the energies that are present, so let's work with those. Instead of resisting them, instead of getting annoyed, let's just work with the energies present. Let's see, embrace the shadow if that's what we need to do, but let's just see what we can, see how to use this time to our best. To our best advantage. And there's always two potion recipes in each column. So there's usually a new moon and a full moon potion. And it's usually skin or body or hair care product, potion. And then there's also some sort of yummy drink or food. I call them beauty bites. So it could be a beauty cocktail, it could be an elixir, a brew, or a nibble, but it's always very clean, gluten-free, refined sugar-free, dairy-free, just very, very clean and good for the body, and, you know, easily digested and all those great things, so that you do glow, so that it really is good for your skin. So you cannot take the nutritionist out of me. It's not going to happen.
Oh, that's so that's great.
Yeah, and everything's delicious.
Do you diet yourself now? Do you still do raw foods? Do you follow a certain diet now?
I do. I mostly eat. It's going to sound like, oh, she's actually a bird. How cute. I eat a lot of fruits and vegetables and seeds, and I cook a lot. I have a Mediterranean background, so I love to cook, but it's very clean. But that being said, I drink wine. I drink coffee. Not every day, but I drink coffee. And you know, I can't resist good baguette and things of that nature. So I think a little bit of feeding the spirit isn't such a bad thing every now and then too.
Absolutely. You practice is what we all should practice, and it's called moderation.
Yes, exactly. And there's so many, you know, like I love cheese. That was probably the toughest thing to get rid of in my diet. The toughest thing, hands down. And, you know, I'm a French girl. I love cheese. But now, between the recipes that are out there and the actual products, the product lines that are available of vegan cheeses are so improved in the past few years. So you can get incredible cheese, incredible. I'm always bringing those things to people's houses, and they're saying, wait, you're trying to tell me that there's no milk in this? What? You know, and I'm like, nope. So there's, we're so fortunate in that there are so many choices, now, good choices now out there. So we're very lucky in that way. So, yeah, I think a little bit of intellectual pollution of the diet sometimes, you know, a little bit of conscious pollution is okay sometimes, but yeah, you have to keep yourself healthy. You have to. It's what we've got.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So do you use astrology? How do you, you've mentioned several times working with the elements. How do you work with the elements in your with your beauty magic?
Well, I'm a really big fan. I mean, obviously, I work with the lunar cycles, but
right.
I also I'm a huge fan of balancing the energies. So, two for instances. One would be if I like to always balance solar and lunar energies, because I do feel that we tend to focus so much on the lunar. And we forget mm-hmm. about the power of the sun. We forget about the vitality
right.
and the life force that's so vital. And
absolutely.
And the masculine, feminine balance, whoever you are and
uh-huh.
and however you identify, there's still those energies. And so I feel
right.
like that's really important. And I also like to balance, for instance, a potion that's meant to really fortify, let's say, a fire sign or someone
uh-huh.
who has a very dominant fire element in their natal chart, because of course we all know we're not just our sun sign. So
right.
I like to fortify that and say, yeah, let's go with the fire. Let's power up here. But at the same time, maybe, and depending on maybe what else is going on in that person's world or in the stars, you might want to say, well, we might want to temper it with a little earth. We might want to cool it down a little bit here. We might want to ground some of this just a little bit, just for some balance. Same thing with an earth dominance. Is like, well, we might want to put a little water in here for fluidity and for softness. And so that's the way I like to work elementally with potions. It becomes very individual.
So I just think that's so interesting. And again, that's something that I'm just sitting here, my mind's going, if I decide to make an elixir or a potion, that is something I could do too.
Of course.
Check the moonshine, check the day of the week, check different things, you know. So again, that just, because I think for me and for many people, magic is different layers. And that's just
yes.
another layer that you add to this.
Absolutely. And that's why even the kitchen witchery, just even the food aspect to me is so fascinating, because, and of course, beverages, because you're really ingesting that magic, aren't you? So it's another layer, as you say. And I think that's, I love that. I just love that.
Do you have a familiar?
I do, and she's right here.
Tell me about her.
Oh, well, she's snoozing, so she's kind of ignoring us right now, but she's a beautiful little black cat. She is the
Aww.
Prettiest thing. Her name is Belili, so she is named for the Babylonian moon goddess. But we have a host of nicknames for her, of course, as we all do, right?
Aww.
But, yeah, she'll be 16. She's a Leo. So we're a very fiery bunch in this house. And she, yeah, she'll be 16, but she's vibrant, and her coat is fantastic. And she's been the most incredible. She and her brother were both my familiars. He passed several years ago. And she really took over. And I don't know if you've had that experience, or I'm sure a lot of the listeners have had that experience where, you know,
mm-hmm.
he was the very dominant familiar. He was incredibly magical. And,
mm-hmm.
she kind of hung in the back a little bit, almost like the little sister that was observing. And then when he was gone, she just came into her own and just absolutely blossomed in every way. And it's a little heartbreaking because I hate that he's not here, but at the same time, I'm so, so thankful that she is. And she's, yeah, so she's very helpful on every level, and she's extremely adored. And
aww.
Yeah, and she's weathered a lot of storms with her mama, that's for sure. She really has. Yeah, she has. And we just recently made a huge move from the country to the city, and she has been fantastic. She's just been phenomenal. So So I'm so thankful. I've been so fortunate that amazing familiars have come to me since I kind of realized as a younger woman that I was ready to have mm-hmm. someone like that. Because I don't think you always know right away.
And I think if you're ready, you give out like a beacon of energy and they do come.
I agree, because we had dogs when I was growing up, and I absolutely love dogs. We had big dogs, mm-hmm. wolves, essentially. And then when I was first having my own animals, I had a cat who was, he was the most sweet, beautiful thing on earth. Not magical, not at all, but he was a doll. And then I realized, yeah, I'm kind of ready for this. So it's mm-hmm. quite something, I think, when that happens. And they really come to you. They just find you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Elise, our time is almost over.
Mm.
I knew it would go fast. You are a fabulous guest.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And please keep this in mind. I remember you saying this is the first book in a series. So please reach out to us and let us know when you've got other things or another book or more product line. And please come back on and share all your beauty secrets with us.
Oh, I would love to. And thank you so much for having me. This was a pleasure.
So remember, everyone, you can go to Llewellyn.com to purchase Elise's newest book, The Beauty Witch's Secret. But you can also go online. You can go to her website, www.thebeautywitch.com, especially if you like a signed copy. And you can even find her book in some mainstream stores like Barnes & Noble. So go out there and look for The Beauty Witch's Secret. Besides Elise, I'd like to thank David and Jeanette, our sound engineers, for their technical expertise. And finally, we'd like to thank all of you out there, our listeners, for your continued support of all of our shows here on Circle Sanctuary Network Podcast, or CSNP. Join us for our next Circle Talk on June 7th as we chat and listen to the music of Arthur Hines, who is a featured musician at this year's PSG. And if you've been to PSG before, you know Arthur and his Good Morning PSG. Blending stories from Celtic myths and legends with stories drawn not only from Celtic and American folk traditions, but his own inspiration. Arthur takes his listeners on a spellbinding journey to other times and places, and also the universal human spirit. He's a great guy, and we are excited to have him on Circle Talk June 7th. So mark it on your calendar and come back. I look forward to being with you all again then. So please come back. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
were warden, serve and nurture, care for her as we roam. Ooh. Be a guardian.
Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org, and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.